Shit, Dan muttered. We have our research scientists working on the problem, of course. But there's no point to reviving my father until we know definitely, one way or the other, how his mind has been affected by the freezing. Dan hunched forward, forearms on his thighs. Okay. I understand now. But get Sai's body to Selene. Now, before these religious fanatics make it impossible to move him. Nobuiko nodded grimly. I believe you're right, Dan. I've felt that way myself for some weeks now, but I'm glad that you agree. I'm heading up to Selene next week, Dan said. If you like, I'll take him with me. That's very good of you, but this is a family matter. I'll take care of it. Dan nodded. Okay, but if you need any help, anything at all, just let me know. Nobuiko smiled again, and for the first time, there was real warmth in it. I will, Dan. I certainly will. Good. The younger man rubbed at his eyes, then looked up at Dan again. Very well. I've told you my problem. Now, tell me yours. What brings you here? Dan grinned at him. Oh, nothing much. I just need a couple of billion dollars. Nobo's face remained completely impassive for a long moment. Then he said, Is that all? Yep. 2 bill should do it. And what do I get in return for such an investment? With a chuckle, Dan replied, A bunch of rocks.
La Guaira.
Pancho looked up, bleary-eyed, from her desktop screen. Across the room that she and Amanda were sharing, Mandy sat at her desk with virtual reality glasses and earphones covering half her face, peering intently at her own screen. I'm going for a walk, she said, loudly enough to get through Mandy's earphones. Amanda nodded without taking off the VR glasses. Pancho squinted at the screen, but it was nothing but a jumble of alphanumerics. Whatever Mandy was studying was displayed on her glasses, not the computer screen. Their dorm room opened directly onto the patio. Cripes, it's almost sundown, Pancho saw as she stepped outside. The late afternoon was still tropically warm, humid, especially after the air-conditioned cool of their quarters. Pancho stretched her long arms up toward the cloud-flecked sky, trying to work out the knots in her back. Been sitting at that stupid old desk too damn long, she said to herself. Mandy can sit there and study till hell freezes over. She's like a dog-ass computer, just absorbing data like a friggin' machine. Dan Randolph had put them to studying the fusion drive and working with the engineering team that was converting a lunar transfer buggy into the ship that would carry them out to the belt. They saw Randolph rarely. The man was jumping all across the world like a flea on a hot griddle, hardly ever in the same place more than one night. When he was in La Guaira, he drove the whole team hard, and himself hardest of all. Peculiar place for a corporate headquarters, Pancho thought as she walked from the housing complex out past the swaying, rustling palm trees toward the seawall. La Guaira was more suited to being a tourist resort than a major space launching center. Randolph had settled his Astro Manufacturing headquarters here years ago, partly because its location near the equator gave rockets a little extra boost from the Earth's spin, partly because he found the government of Venezuela easier to deal with than the suits in Washington. Strange, though. Randolph was rumored to have been in love with President Scanwell. There were whispers about their being lovers off and on, a stormy romance that only ended when the ex-president lost her life in the big Tennessee Valley earthquake. It all seemed so far away. Pancho followed the winding path toward the seawall, her soft boots crunching on the gravel. The sun was just about touching the horizon, turning the Caribbean reddish gold. Massive clouds were piling up, turning purple and crimson in the underlighting. With the breeze coming off the sea, making the palms bow gracefully, this was as close to a tropical paradise as she could imagine. But the seawall reminded her of a harsher reality. It was shoulder high, an ugly reinforced concrete barrier against the encroaching waters. It had originally been painted a pastel pink, But the paint had faded in the sun, and the concrete was crumbling here and there, where storm tides had pounded against it. The old beaches were all underwater now, except at the very lowest tides. The surf broke out there, long combers tumbling and frothing with a steady, ceaseless, growling hiss. And still the sea was rising, a little bit more every year. Looks pretty, doesn't it? Startled, she turned to see Randolph standing there, looking glumly out to sea. He was wearing a wrinkled white shirt and dark slacks that had gone baggy from long hours of travel. "Didn't see you coming up the path, boss," said Pancho. "Come to think of it, I didn't even hear you on the gravel." "I walked on the grass," Randolph said, quite seriously. "Stealth is my middle name." Pancho laughed. But Randolph said gloomily, "When Greenland melts down, this will all go under."
"The whole island?"
"Every damn bit of it. Maybe some of the gantry towers will stick up above the surface. The hilltops, not much else. Cracks. This used to be part of the mainland, you know. When I first brought the company here, that strait cutting us off from the hills didn't exist. The sea level's gone up that much in less than 20 years.
"And it's still going up," Pancho said.
Randolph nodded gloomily, then leaned his arms on the shoulder-high seawall and propped his chin on them. "How's the job going?" he asked.
"We're working at it," she replied. "It's a lot to learn, all this fusion stuff."
With a tired nod, he said,
"Yeah. But you've got to know every bit of it, Pancho. If anything breaks down out there, you've got to be able to diagnose it and fix it."
"We'll have an engineer on board," she said, "won't we?"
"Maybe. But whether you do or not, you've got to know everything there is to know about the systems."
"Yeah, I guess."
"And you've got to get the new navigational technique down, too," he added.
"Point and shoot, yeah. Kind of weird."
With the thrust and efficiency of the fusion rocket, their spacecraft did not have to travel in an energy-conserving ellipse from Earth orbit to the belt. Fusion-driven trajectories were almost straight lines. Travel times would be days instead of months.
"It's a lot to learn, I know," Randolph said.
She saw the weariness in his eyes, and yet there was something else in them, something more.
Hope, she thought. Or maybe just plain mulish stubbornness.
"He wants to make this fusion ship work, and he's trusting me to drive it. Me and Mandy.
We could use a weekend off," she said, "or even a night on the town."
The sun had sunk behind the mainland's mountains. They could see the lights on the mainland beginning to wink on.
"Sorry, kid. No can do," Randolph said.
He started walking along the seawall. "I told you when you agreed to take this assignment, you stay here in the complex."
"Security, yeah, I know," Pancho said, following him.
"Your own security, too," Randolph said. "Not just the company's. You're very valuable now. You and Amanda are crucial to this entire operation. I don't want you running any risks."
Pancho thought it over. "He's trusting us with this whole operation right enough. Can't blame him for being careful. Still..."
She looked across the strait again at the lights of the city. Then a new thought struck her. "Does he know I'm supposed to be snooping on him? Is he keeping us bottled up here so's I can't get in touch with Humphreys?"
"Can I ask you something?"
Randolph smiled tiredly at her in the fading light.
"Sure, go right ahead."
"I've heard rumbles that you were, well, that Astro's got money problems."
Randolph hesitated a moment, then...
"Corporations always have money problems."
"I mean, like, you're pretty close to broke?"
"Pretty close," he admitted.
"Then why are you sinking all this money into this fusion ship?"
The light was dying fast. Pancho could barely see his face, but she heard the determination in his voice.
"Two reasons, kid," he said. "First, if it works, Astro can get first licks at the belt. Our stock will zoom up, our profits will skyrocket, and the only money problems I'll have is how to spend all the cash flowing in."
Pancho said nothing, waiting for his second reason.
"And also," Randolph went on, "opening up the belt is crucial for the human race's survival."
"You really think so?" He stopped walking and turned toward her.
"We can't take much more of this climate warming, Pancho. Millions have died already.
tens of millions, but the